Hey, Mike Dolce fans. Has Mike helped you take one step closer to achieving your health and fitness goals this year? Let Mike know how much you appreciate his help and please vote for him to win the 2014 Trainer of the Year Award. Simply go to worldmmaawards.com and select Mike as the 2014 Trainer of the Year. Voting is almost closed, so act now and go to www.worldmmaawards.com. Mike and Brandy love being part of your life and look forward to helping you make 2015 your best year ever.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mike Dolce Show, episode 103. Now, this episode is a little bit different from the rest because I'm actually recording this intro after we filmed the episode. You see, we had Jessica Aguilar, the number one ranked female fighter in the 115-pound division in the world. No, she doesn't fight for the UFC. She fights for the World Series of Fighting. We'll get into Jess's story a little later, but we are still here in training camp with Thiago Pitbull Alves as he gets ready for UFC 183 in Las Vegas on January 31st. I needed to go back, record this intro for you guys, and just let you hear what happened. We had dinner tonight. Tonight's Wednesday. It's the refeed night. Power pasta was on the menu. We invited Jess over and we said, hey, what better opportunity than to just bang out a podcast? So we apologize. I apologize for the acoustics. I apologize for any mic issues. I apologize for Tiago's two English bulldogs fighting in the background for running water. You are getting a snapshot of a real world situation of just what happened tonight while we were eating dinner. I even started the mic, let the mic start running early before anybody even knew we were podcasting. And that's what this episode is going to transition to. You're going to transition, you're going to hear Thiago talking about some weight cuts and all this stuff. And as he was talking, I was like, man, this is brilliant. If I could just share with you guys just the average conversations that we have. So I turned the mic on, I let it start running, and they kind of started to figure out after a few minutes that what was going on, and then all of a sudden the podcast broke out. So without further ado, here we go, episode 103 with Thiago Pitbull Alves and Jessica Aguilar.
It was just salad, cashews.
That's crazy.
You know, no wonder
you
ate
it. Salad, cashews,
and
peanuts.
Right?
And dude, as the thing was coming out, you couldn't count the cashews coming out.
Disgusting,
dude.
Disgusting. Okay, that might have been too far.
Too much, too much.
No, it's not.
You couldn't count the cashews.
It's fun.
If you want. Tuesday, you start the sauna with plastic. 10 minutes. It's six
Tuesday.
Rounds of 10 minutes, yeah. Six
That's
rounds
crazy.
In the morning, six rounds at night.
And it's like amazing how you don't torture yourself.
Yeah,
like
no,
that.
But I was going to ask you remember the feeling? That's what I was just going to say.
Doesn't even compare because I used to feel like shit. Like, even before training camp,
kind of
you know, before training camp, you just got to do it. You got to do it. And that, I feel, not like that, but I feel close to that just the day of. Like, if you have to share this last camp, I didn't feel anything because make the weight the day before. And, like, I woke up on weight. And I was like, fuck, I don't have to do it. Are you sure? You know, we're like 205, like a pound over. It's like, dude, it's still like a pound and a half. You know, like we gotta do it. Chill out, homie. Just chill out.
Isn't that amazing?
You got my last fight?
Yeah, I float 2 pounds.
That's amazing.
I weigh 170 and a half.
Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. And I'm always trying to
do the same thing.
Eat
this time. Make the weight the day before. This is the best way. I used to think if I'm making the weight the day before, I'm gonna be too weak, you know, because your body's gonna be depleted way too long,
it's gonna
whatever.
Be better, because your body gets to rest more. Like you don't.
Yeah.
Right.
Nah, it was the best.
So awesome.
Yeah.
What did you guys do that day?
Nothing. You just walk around to check the weight, and then we came back to the room and
just relaxed all day. Waited, you know, checked his weight as the day went.
to make sure he wasn't underweight, and we would feed him a little bit, hydrate him a little bit.
How do you maintain? Is it tough to maintain?
Kept him right on.
And wait. The next one, so he may wait the night before, but
stop
the next
it.
Morning, did he have anything or no? Until the weigh-in.
I think we ate some strawberries,
like,
drink a little
like
bit of water,
fruit, like orange
yeah.
or something.
Yeah. Yeah, just kept the sugar pumping into
yeah,
his body
yeah.
to keep him feeling good and give him
and
enough energy to get him
dark chocolate.
And then you were still going to hurt him.
Huh?
Still peeing.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, not as much,
yeah.
just a little bit.
But yeah, we were spot on.
That's awesome. I knew then it was really weird. My nerves were like very strange. Still got nervous when he fought, but as soon as that happened, because I knew it had never happened before, I was like, oh, this is just. I was like, remember I cried? I cried at the weigh-ins.
At the weigh-ins.
I did.
Awesome.
I did. I cried.
Yeah.
Well, it'd been 2 years, man. It looked so good the
yeah.
day before. We were rocking our Dolce
shirts. You're screaming. You're
oh, my God.
Yeah, by the way, I still don't have
your tank tops on.
Oh, yeah, we
yeah.
got here. That's the first time I wore a tank top. I'm like, I really don't. I usually don't wear tank tops. I'm like, I usually don't wear tank tops, but I'm going to wear a tank top today. And then she's like, you are? And I'm like, yep.
We wore
your
tank tops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Represent.
Yeah. I got to take these guns out.
That was
amazing.
Be flexing all day.
It was awesome, yeah.
The energy and
oh, my God.
The
energy.
I already saw her. Like, yeah. When you talk about it, the energy in there, it was, like, insane.
And that's
crazy,
like,
right?
Like,
yeah.
When you came,
just
like,
weigh-ins.
No, the weigh-ins. But
yeah.
then when you came out and, like, they announced your name, it was, like, oh
you're
my God,
you're already, like, you were just, like, it was.
It was crazy. I had, I was,
we're
like.
Home, bitches. Home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I cried, people.
I still have.
No, I get
justified.
It.
Yeah, I still have. I still have videos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I knew he was on weight. That's when I screamed and yelled.
Oh
my God. I remember everyone looking at me.
But
remember,
like,
everyone from
so
ATT was
like,
she's so excited that he made weight.
Yeah, so long. Yeah.
That's. It was pretty.
That was pretty
cool.
Oh my God.
When Dennis came
at home, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better have people behind me.
Amazing.
When Misty,
because so cool.
Misty's boyfriend was at the fight, when he came. He just sat there and he was like, I've never experienced anything like that before in my life. He's like, when Tiago came
yeah.
out, he was like, I've never seen a crowd. Like, I've never seen somebody get that kind of response from somebody. He was like,
2 years.
I had chills. He was like, everybody was holding up Brazilian flags and people were chanting stuff that I didn't understand.
I was sitting in front of Dan's brother, right?
Yeah.
And
you
were like,
screaming.
Yeah. And then he turned around like, I'm sorry. And he was like, it's okay, Jess, just because it's you.
Dan's brother?
Yeah. He was like right in front of me, and I'm like, but I didn't know, I mean, I didn't realize. I was just like,
yeah.
And then he kind of looked back, and I'm like, I'm sorry. He's like, oh, Jess, you can scream.
Yeah. There were people that came up to us after they went to the fight, and then they came back to the hotel, and they were like, oh, you're a fan of Tiago's. I'm like, yeah, I'm a big fan. They're like, dude, the energy
like,
when that guy came out, like, people I didn't even know. It was like the happiest day of my life, I swear to God.
That was awesome. Thought it was in a propose.
That was my second.
That was
second.
Good energy.
Barely.
I remember I cried. The fight at the Hard Rock, I was like crying. I'm like, why don't know why I guess I'm crying? Because when
I cried, when you won.
Oh,
won,
the championship.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm crazy.
I went to the bathroom and I was like,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I got a little teary-eyed.
Happy moments. And there's more to come.
We are recording right now.
No way.
Yes, we are.
Are we really?
We are.
That's awesome.
We're waiting for the pit bull to get back, just so you know, but continue the conversation
okay.
as everybody else is listening in. Ladies, feel free to.
Awesome.
To join
Yay.
In.
I just expressed my.
Well, we were,
my nerves.
We were talking about not being nervous. What are we being nervous for? We have, we train in the best team in the world with the best trainers in the world.
I was taping the colonic talk. About the cashews coming out.
That was before Dolce, people. That was before Dolce.
How many cashews did you count?
I lost count.
As many as one in.
Yeah.
So, who do we have here? We have Tiago Pitbull Alves. We have Jessica Jag Aguilar. We have Elena. What's your last name?
Rodriguez.
Elena Rodriguez, who is a registered dietitian. And we have Miss Amber Del Pino, the fiance of Tiago Alves. We also have Tanky Alves and Ray Alves.
That's right.
The two canines in the background causing havoc. Just so everybody listening knows what's happening. We're sitting around dinner table. We just had some power pasta and we are chit-chatting and welcome everybody listening. Come join the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack.
So where do we start?
Where do we keep going with what we're talking about?
Okay.
I got a quick question. Am I allowed to eat the pasta in 3 hours again or not?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
There we go.
So every 3 hours he's every...
Every 3 hours like a machine he eats.
That's
every
amazing.
3 hours. And tonight's a refeed night.
Because of it, right.
So we're dumping in as much...
Pasta.
As much of the power pasta as we can because tomorrow's the last hard sparring day. And the man is ready to roll.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, if you do this like you did, if you're doing this, it's working because I've seen his sparring sessions. And
how's he look?
It's been they've been pretty awesome. I'm like, poor Cattell, don't mess him up. He took Cattell down like motherfucker like Tuesday.
Cattell's a stud, man.
Oh, he is. But I was like,
such a stud.
And you wanted it, you kind of held back, but it was.
We're just known like try to get the best out of the workout. Me and him, we both just make sure we just push each other without hurting
every
each other.
Round was.
But Cattell is the best sparring partner you can ask for. It doesn't get much better than Cattell. You know, he trains you. You know, the best coach in the business when it comes to you know striking. And you know, if you're doing wrong, you know he'll show you what you're doing wrong. Punch you or kick you in the face, you know?
I love it, exactly.
At the
it.
Same time, you know, he can mimic your opponent. You know, he has that type of quality,
talent.
Technical quality,
talent,
that can
yeah.
mimic your opponent and bring the best out of you. Cattell Kubis.
Whoosh. Sure, that's for sure. He takes kicks out of a Mexican. You know, that's hard to do. I mean, so, yeah, he's amazing. But you, the way you're doing things with Thiago...
He's a machine.
It shows.
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready to perform.
That's right. That's right.
We're ready to put on a show.
We were just talking about the old days. About the cutting. You know,
the old weight cuts.
About about the old feelings.
Before the Doja style. I mean, lifestyle.
Lifestyle.
That's right.
It's a lifestyle. It's not a diet, people. It's a lifestyle.
Lifestyle.
Don't count calories. Make calories.
That's
there
right.
You go.
Oh,
you tell them.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, and it was very painful, you know, just to talk about it hurts. I got a little bit.
Certain areas hurts.
Especially in certain areas.
It's,
and it was such a frightening week, such a frightening moment before the fight, you know, and you go, you kind of do anything to lose that weight, you know, like take laxative and all that stuff that you shouldn't
be doing.
The thing
you didn't realize was you were hurting yourself.
Yeah.
More than you were helping yourself.
Yeah, my coach at the time, you know, I'm very coachable. So whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to get it done. So in my head, you know, that was just part of the process. You know, you have to do that. So, you know, to be on weight, you know, you have to suffer. You got to drink the still water that doesn't taste like water. I don't know what the still water tastes like.
Chemically.
Yeah, it tastes, it's horrible. And, you know, I couldn't eat any, the only thing I was allowed to eat was after get a workout, you know, you can eat something solid, which was salad, you know, with chicken, but no salt, nothing, no, you know, it was just plain solid. And before workouts, it was just cashews, nuts, and distilled water. So I'll do that for a week, you know, so pretty much I eat everything that I want into the week off. The week off, I have to cut about 25, you know, to 20 to 25 pounds, you know, in 1 week. And it was just hell, man. I used to, you know, out of competition, I used to see a sauna. I was sweating for no reason. Just to That's how much phobia I had, anxiety I had of sauna. But today is a whole different story, people.
Life is different.
Yeah. I remember the anxiety you used to get pre-weight cut. Because of the weight cut and all the damage that they had done to you.
Because
that was your coaches. I don't blame you for what happened in the past. You were very coachable. You do what you're told almost blindly. And in the past, it was amazing what you went through in order to compete. So when you would see a sauna, you would start to get anxiety visible to me, being an outside individual. Yeah.
I would want to sit in one,
that's
like
so
recreationally.
Really?
Like, I don't understand why
the
citizens do this.
I pass out a few times. I used to pass out starting on Wednesday. So weigh-ins, it was on Friday. I'll pass out like twice a day on Wednesday, twice a day on Thursday.
Oh, no.
The only once on Friday because the weigh-ins usually in the afternoon, so I won't pass out in the morning. And Saturday, I was fighting. I was competing.
And you would know going into it that I'm going to wind up passing out. Or they would keep you in the sauna until you literally passed out.
And they dragged me out after. And then, you know, you wake up and you go back in. That's all again.
That was just a part of the job back then. It was just like this is our job. This is how you do it. I remember you used to drink, remember we used to have to drink, they told 3 distilled gallons.
Yeah.
like starting like Sunday, Sunday before that, that the week of the weigh-in. Yeah. It was like you start Sunday and you have to drink 3 gallons of distilled water.
Yeah, and sometimes like you have to mix some I forgot the name the of little, clear yeah, light, whatever, just to give the distilled water some type of
flavor,
taste.
Yep.
But it was
crazy.
It's darkness.
I mean, I've always had to eat to like keep my weight, so okay. I had a different situation. But
yeah.
I mean, I was getting punished a different way, putting weights like a lot of weights with no protection. My form was horrible. Remember back in the day? I mean,
yeah.
I was lifting like an animal. My form wasn't correct just to put on some weight, and that kind of damaged me. Yeah.
Was it the same coach without naming names?
Same coach.
Same coach. Still in the business.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's...
It's a shame. It's something so simple and basic in nutrition, eating before you train and after is the ideal time to eat. To refuel and fuel yourself for that activity. It's like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the ideal moment. You need that energy to train. You're going to burn it off efficiently. And then after, you're depleted, so why not give it back? Your body's going to absorb it exactly how it should.
Yeah.
And depriving it from that is just...
I mean, but that was our job.
So bad. Yeah.
You know, to be a professional athlete and pass out before your biggest competition, there's no
other
sport.
But
like
could
that.
You
like
imagine?
That
no, but that was
scary.
But that was what we were. It was okay. Our
it was
the people that were
deal.
Teaching us.
Before
that was
Dolce came around.
Exactly before we had the God Mr. Dolce.
Yeah.
You know.
And
so
what's crazy is, you're the highest level in professional sports as professional mixed martial artists. It's like being a professional football player, basketball player, baseball player. You're the exact same thing. But in each of those sports and industries, they have very specific skills coaches. They have a batting coach. They have a throwing coach. They have a position coach in the NFL. They have personal trainers and physical therapists and massage therapists and strength and conditioning coaches. They have all these layers of coaches on the team. But in MMA, you have a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt dictating your weight cut.
Yeah.
You have, you know, and I'm just saying that as one where you wouldn't have a strength coach walk into a Jiu-Jitsu room and teach class.
Right.
Yeah. You wouldn't have a nutritionist walk into the octagon and run a sparring session or, you know, teach how to throw a head, you know, kick combination.
Exactly.
But all these coaches are running weight cutting programs, which is going to undo all the training effect of the other skills coaches.
Right.
Because a botched weight cut, poor, you know, like Tiago's talking about his cut, destroys the athlete, then they don't rehydrate him properly. He goes out there, he can't use the techniques that all the coaches taught him for the entire training camp, and everything's been wasted.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
But now, I mean, you know.
Yeah, and that's why Tiago's a stud, because he's still with everybody's ass.
That's, what
it's
he used
weight
to
now,
do.
So could you imagine
just
now? This is just like, man, he's just...
Yeah.
You know.
It's very comforting making all these mistakes, you know, that I've been through and everything now with the knowledge that I learned, you know, with the people that I have working with me, you know, to see the damage we're going to do in the future.
That's
so that's
absolutely
very exciting.
Very
valid.
Yeah. Days when I go back and look at the highlights... And he'll say, I passed out right before that fight. Like the week before that fight.
It's
and then
insane.
You go back and look what he did. So how much, I'm actually curious. So how much weight, because you said before you would cut 20 pounds. So how much weight would you usually look to cut the week of now?
The week of now? I mean, with Tiago, it's still about 20 pounds, but it's the right 20 pounds that's
right.
been primed for the 3 weeks prior. So what we've done, we've prepared his body to lose the weight in a healthy fashion for weigh-ins, and then put that weight right back on. We don't. I mean, he's 192 pounds, let's say, at about 7 to 8% body fat. That's perfect. We don't want him to get any lighter because that's going to take away from his health and his performance. So at this point, we focus on his digestive system, make sure he's absorbing all the nutrients that we're giving him. Nothing else is spilling over, and his body is emptying those nutrients. Nothing is sticking to him. Nothing's staying in. Nothing's interfering with his digestion. It's very important. Because as we get closer to calorie deficit for weigh-ins, we want to make sure every nutrient that goes in is being used properly. We also manipulate his electrolytes so his body more freely eliminates water. It doesn't hold on to water. There's no additional bloat or edema. It just naturally lets the water go. And then at the very end is when we get into the dehydration process, but we try and minimize that as much as possible.
Yeah.
So we try and allow the body to eliminate as much weight as it naturally will, and then we step in and we finish off the last probably 3 to 6 pounds is truly what we actually have to work off.
Yeah.
And we do that for a shorter period of time, But like what we did last time in Orlando, Tiago was on weight the night before at 171 pounds, and we were able to feed him and rehydrate him all the way up until the scale. He was still urinating. He was still using the restroom. He looked great. He's doing interviews. We're walking around the hotel. That was the epitome of a perfect weight cut right there, and this time it'll be even better.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So you'll feel good at her.
I know, right? So I don't have to keep asking him questions.
It's so funny that even my mom, and I was talking this morning, I was talking to my mom this morning, and that's the first thing she asked me.
How's your weight?
How's your weight? Your weight fine and everything? Mom, don't worry. We got this.
We got this.
Are you sure? How much weight? How many kilos? Is it?
And I said, Mom, don't worry about it.
The
weight cut's going
to
be easy.
The house,
his smile.
Constantly, When's Dolce coming? He says, Woman, we got this. Don't worry about it. But as soon as Dolce walks in, I go...
That's awesome. Because
all of a sudden
like,
there's like this
It's like
release.
Before and after Dolce.
Yeah,
you know?
BD. I'm like,
oh, you have the opposite problem.
Yeah.
We struggle to keep her eating.
Okay, that's a good problem.
Yeah.
Hold on one second. And we're back. We had a little technical difficulty there. And we were talking about Jess's has to eat in order to make weight. But then we started talking about cursing, too.
Oh, yeah.
So let's fucking hear about how much shit you gotta eat to make weight.
Oh. I gotta eat a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But
what do you walk around at? What's your natural weight? And wait, let me introduce... We haven't introduced the show properly. This is episode 103. This is a special episode going on right now. So, Jessica Aguilar, you are the number one pound-for-pound female fighter in the world based upon your resume. I'm looking at your resume
right
now.
Damn right.
You have a 10-fight winning streak, of which you've beaten the current reigning UFC 115-pound champ, Carla Esparza. You also beat the widely considered number one pound-for-pound girl, Megumi Fuji.
Oh, she's still my favorite. And
you beat her twice.
She's going down. She's going to be like, she's like a Bruce Lee to me.
She's like the Anderson Silva of the female division.
Megumi Fuji, yeah. She's a real deal. She's, you know, she's amazing. A lot of people don't know about her, but, you know, they should.
You beat her twice. So you beat her twice, who everyone considers the best female in the world. Now she's retired, I believe.
Yes, she's retired.
Did you retire her?
You retired her, right?
All right, we'll just say it. And she was still, I mean, she was the best when you beat her. So it's not like she was a faded version of herself. She was still kicking ass. And you beat Carla Esparza, who's a very good, very talented, tough, you know, strawweight season winner. She comes out, she wins the belt over Rose Namajunas. But you beat Carla also.
I did. I beat her with one.
You had a broken nose or something?
I had a compound fracture in the first round, and I still went, three rounds, and I still beat her. So, I mean, I have a lot of respect for her.
Sure.
And for all the ladies in division, the stack division. But, you know, I mean, like you said, it's in paper.
Numbers don't lie, people.
Exactly.
We
just got to keep it real.
And that's what we're doing. We are keeping it real, letting you guys know who the best is. This girl right here, Jag. Now, you're currently the World Series of Fighting strawweight champion.
That's right.
That's 115-pound weight class.
Right.
And awesome. Love World Series of Fighting. But you, I'm assuming, I want to see you fight Carla. Everybody wants to see you fight Carla. And eventually, if Carla even still has the title, that's probably the move. If the UFC wants to have the best female fighters in the world, they're going to have to sign you.
Well, I'm ready. I'm up for the challenge. I want to continue fighting and kicking everybody's ass.
There we go.
You know?
One person at a time.
Yeah, one person at a time. So if that opportunity comes to me, I'm going to take it. And I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do
what I do.
Yep.
So it's exciting. It's pretty exciting where I'm at. World Series of Fighting has been great to me.
Sure.
I have, you know, I work with a great team, the best coaches. I have a good team around me right now. I'm very happy with. So, you know, I'm just going to take it day by day, keep doing what I'm doing, stay healthy, but I do have to keep eating, so
yes.
I'm going to have to use Mr. Dolce to,
I'm here.
You know, to put some weight on.
But how much you walk around at?
Right now, I'm waking up like at 121.
Wow.
And you weigh in at what?
115.
So you're a 105-pounder, truly.
Well, I mean, I could be, you know.
If the class existed and you could monetize it.
Right. And I mean, I don't want to be a 105 because this is my division.
Sure.
So I want to continue being here. Either, whether they drop from 135 or they're coming from 105, I just want to, you know, gain a little more weight.
Sure.
And just be a little stronger and more prepared for the competition because there, you know, there's girls that are heavier that are coming down from different weight classes, and I just want to be, be a little stronger.
And that's got to be a scary thought considering that you're already the number one pound-for-pound female in the world at 115 pounds, and you're going to get bigger, you're going to get stronger. I mean, that's got to be scary to all the girls in the division. Like I keep saying, you've already beat the number one girl in the UFC.
Right.
Okay, and that was you not even weighing close to probably what she weighs because Carla cuts weight to make the weight. She's not a tall girl, but she's very thick, very stocky, and she's known to be powerful. She's a very, you know, solid wrestler, and you're going to probably face her 10 pounds of more muscle.
Bring it!
Than you were when you first fought her.
I do feel lighter, but I feel good. I just need a little more, you know, a little more weight. And bring it. Bring
that's
it.
Exciting. You know, I wish I could have put on some weight.
I wish it was that easy, though.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's,
we've got to, I always have to have food ready for her.
It's just really hard.
You know, it's just constant cooking and preparing things so that she's just, it's there and she doesn't have to think about it. And it's,
that's awesome.
It's ready.
But I'll
otherwise,
be ready.
You know, on top of training and being exhausted, that's the last thing you want to do, you know, when you get home is, like, cook. So I try to help her as much as I can to have her food ready and carbs, protein, the good stuff.
Non-stop.
But, like, where can they go? I have this weird body where my torso is like so little, and there's, you know, I mean, you could see the curves. I mean, my Brazilian bikini is huge. You know, Sundays I take out my Brazilian bikini, but you know, and I let my hair down. But you know, during the week,
yeah, sure.
You know,
that's some junk in the trunk.
For sure, you guys haven't seen it. Shoot, don't even know.
I remember when I saw the bikini shoot.
You don't like, even?
I'm not Jessica Aguilera.
You didn't. You know you didn't.
Yes, I did. You look great.
I mean, you have to be marketable.
You
know, I mean, that's part of the job. You have to be marketable. I mean, I want to be in great shape. I want to be marketable. I mean, I speak three different languages. But the most important thing for me is just being healthy and being feeling strong for the fight.
Yeah.
But, you know, that... bikini. Hey, I gotta do it.
Where, for everybody listening that wants to know, where is this bikini shoot?
Yeah.
Archive.
It's Tom. It's on Tom's TomHill.com.
Hair's on long. Yeah. This pretty
no, but I think I blocked it, so I put.
I got
my own password. So.
It's
my own password.
I think we just
put it out there. Put it out there.
The cover for this podcast.
Yeah, right.
Give it to me. No, I mean, hey, it's part of the job, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, you guys don't hate on. Don't
leave
my Brazilian booty.
No, you gotta put it out there.
Right?
You know, show them what you're working with. You know, all this hard work, you know, people gotta see it.
I know. No, but you know, I need to put on some weight. But I feel good.
Awesome.
Feel good. I'm in a good place. You know, everything is good. So I'm just waiting on the next challenge.
And now talking about using all parts of your personality in order to sell yourself as an athlete, Ronda Rousey does that very well. She's a very dominant athlete, but also part of what makes her so successful is her ability to take her other attributes and show them to the rest of the world. Show other parts, whether it's her acting skills, whether it's the way she looks physically. She's done photo shoots. She's done like the ESPN body image, and you know, I forget some Buffalo jeans. I think she has a very risque photo shoot where she looks amazing. What is your opinion on some females? Felice Herrig kind of got bagged on for a little while for using sex appeal to put herself over. What are your thoughts? Because guys don't have to do that as much. Well, some guys. But you got... All right, talk. She's squirming over here.
Oh, wait.
You got a lot to say. All right, I'm going to shut up.
No. I mean, everyone is their own person, and they're all different. So I don't judge anyone. If you're gonna, if that's the way you want to run your business, do it. You know, I respect Rhonda, and she's doing a great job at what she's doing, and she's opening doors for all of us. You know, I don't have a comment on
Felice.
On Felice. You know, that's her. If she wants to do that,
she
it's
wants to do that,
and she's making her money. She's doing whatever she's doing. Good for her. Like I'm just,
it's her,
you know, I'm happy for if they're being if they're succeeding in the sport. That's great. That's what it's all, you know, that's what it's all about. It's your business.
But
I'm not, I mean, everyone's different. I mean, you know.
What's the but?
What's the, there's a but somewhere. A big old Brazilian
no.
butt.
Somewhere
in here.
I think you're Brazilian and not Mexican.
But what? That's just not your style.
But that's never been your style from what I've seen.
It's
you've
not,
always.
It's not my style. I mean, for a couple of reasons. I mean, how can I say this?
You're
just forgive
like
I feel more
say
like a
words.
Yeah. I'm like a tomboy. I'm like
there
you know.
Go.
You're an athlete.
Okay.
You've always
I'm
come across
athlete,
to me.
Right? I'm
as
an
a
athlete,
professional
but
athlete.
For the way I you know, I don't feel comfortable in a bathing suit. Can I rock it if somebody
yes,
says
can.
Can I say hey, can you put on a bathing suit and do a shoot? Absolutely. You know I'll do it. That's if it's in my job description, I'm gonna do it. But that's not me.
Gotcha.
You know, and everyone's different. Everybody, you know, they work. They
You're
work.
Not going to catch her taking selfies in the bathroom?
I follow your Instagram, and I don't see any
yeah,
of these
need,
booty selfies.
I need to get better with that. I'm going to, you know, when I'm growing, I need 5 pounds to put on my booty, and you guys are going to see selfies.
Yeah, booty shots all over
the place.
Nice.
Let me gain my 5 pounds, and you're going to see booty shots.
What you need to do is you need to follow Nick Lentz's selfie game.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
His selfie game is strong. Very strong.
I'm going to follow.
You got a black belt in the selfies.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to do more selfies. I mean, 5 pounds. Watch out. Maybe, I mean, how long does it take to gain 5 pounds?
Well,
it's just a dinner.
Yeah.
I mean,
Diago, I mean, come on. That's a different story right there. That's like, that's a real Brazilian
food. One dinner will do.
Mexicans, we don't carry a big behind, you know. It's you know.
What you have me for.
Yeah, I don't
have
a big behind.
Looking at it from an outside perspective, though, it seems like, as Tiago calls them, citizens. I am a citizen. It's the more
civilians.
Humble, civilian, sorry. Civilians. I'm a civilian. The more humble of a fighter you are, it almost seems like you have to try harder to get that spot. Because you look at... I actually followed Felice for like 2.3 seconds and then I unfollowed her because I was kind of, I just unfollowed her pretty quickly. But if you are humble, it's more difficult for you to become marketable, which is very, very strange because as a civilian, you can actually relate more to fighters like Jessica, especially being a woman. But it is funny how society flocks to the ones that are, you know, it's like when you drive by and you look at a car accident, people still turn their heads to look.
Right.
So now the look, the traffic is
it's
not so because
true.
The car accident's in the way. The traffic is there because everybody wants to see it.
Yeah.
So it's just how we are as a society. But I think the more people get to know her, they're going to flock to her like crazy. But you look at McGregor.
Yeah.
He is far from humble, and look how well he's
right.
done. So whether you're a male or a female, it's the more humble fighters that have to work harder, I think, to get more.
Yeah, and I have trouble like about talking about myself and things like that. I'm really humble. But, you know, I think it's part of our sport, too, as an athlete, and that's what the fans want to see and hear. They want to hear more, you know, what we're doing about what we're doing.
Yeah, I think it really changed. You know, if you're going to go back to the martial arts thing, it's all about respect and being humble and respect to the other person, you know, and always learning. And a lot of MMA fighters, you know, at least the not the good ones, but, you know, the old school ones with old school coaches and everything comes with that mentality. But what happened today, you know, MMA got so big, so popular, that became a business, you know.
Yeah.
So how are you going to get that attention from the public, you know? How are you going to get the fans, you know, to tune into you? So you have to sell yourself in a different ways, you know.
Right.
And a lot of people have, you know, some qualities and some attribute that they put out there, and the crowd connects with them
right
away, you know. So other they like to keep more private and like to just, you know, kick ass and show that's how I do it. And I think Jess, it's one of them, you know. Like, she's not much to talk to, more to show. But, you know, it's okay, you know. As long as you're happy doing it, you know. And everybody's going to see eventually.
Thank you. And like I was telling Mike earlier today, you know, I'm fortunate to be with WSOF. They give me a great opportunity, and they treated me like a champion. And last year was the best year of my career, you know, so far. And you know, they're a three-year-old company, so their platform is it's I mean, what they've done in 3 years, it's huge, but we can't compare it to the UFC. It's just a different animal.
Yeah,
and that's just being real.
Yeah, they've been around longer,
right? So you know, I think that I mean, I try to use all my platforms, just being me, and a part of being a champion for me is not only just it's about obviously winning my fights and being the champion, but it's about what I do outside of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And what's inside of me is to give back, you know, to be involved in the community and to, you know,
shave
volunteer. And, I'm sorry?
Shave your head?
Shave my hair for a good cause. That's when I get on, when I go on the Ellen DeGeneres show, then I'll shave my head. And I'm going to be on it. So.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's much more than being, than winning fights for me. You know, it's more than that's just a little, that's the small part of the job, and then after you're a champion, it's what you do with it, and so when I do have that huge audience, I mean, it's gonna be amazing. I just can't wait.
Absolutely.
But you know, that's just me, and everyone's different.
Somebody like to go to women's homes and do talks and inspire people.
Yeah. I do that. Yeah, I like to do that. I like to, you know, just share, give back, you know, because I was once there. I once needed help, and somebody, you know, gave me a hand and taught me something. So, hey, now I have a different platform. Now I can do it. I can give back a little, and hey, it's our turn, you know, and to show that, hey, our sport, we have athletes that care about, you know, changing the community. So
yeah, it's a struggle, you know. It's not because, you know, people see most of these fights on TV and everything. They don't see the whole struggle that we go through before we be on TV and all that. And I think that the best way to show yourself and try to sell yourself, you know, it's being honest to yourself. You know, it's so much easier. Just being yourself, you know, in front of the cameras and portraying yourself to the fans, you know, it's much easier to relate than trying to fake, you know, because you can fake it for so long, and at one point people's gonna, you know, mask is gonna fall out. So,
Speaking of being humble, though, which you didn't even mention, and I love the story you guys were talking about, that fighter that retired. I remember when you told me before you fought, when a fighter of her origin goes into her retirement fight, she picks the most toughest opponent she's ever fought. I thought was incredible, because basically picked Jessica to be her retirement fight, which you didn't even talk about.
Oh, yeah, I didn't talk about that. That was amazing.
Tell the story.
Yeah, that was, the first fight, obviously, starting my career, when I decided to be serious and take it serious and said, you know, I'm on a mission to be the best. I looked up who's the best in the world. This was almost 10 years ago, and it was Megumi Fuji. So my dream, and the biggest show back then for me when I started was Jules in Japan. So I was like, man, I have to train hard. I have to do whatever I have to do, but I have to get to that show, and one day I want to be like her. And like her as a fighter, because she's amazing, but the respect... as a person and who she is, just the whole package. It's not just about being a great athlete. And then five laters, I'm fighting with her in the same cage. I'm in front of her and I'm like, holy shit, this is it. This is my opportunity to be the best. This is my night. And I mean, I went out there and I got the victory. That was the best day of my life. But I was so respectful. I don't even know how to explain. I'm thinking about it right now. And just, it was a moment where I was like, I was kind of lit. I was living a dream. Like, I beat the Megumi Fuji. And I continued my career. And I had trouble finding fights. Fought probably Bellator, kept me busy for a little bit. And then, you know, that died out. And then I got a Facebook message from someone saying, would you fight Megumi for her retirement fight? And I said, is this a joke? Like, I responded to the Facebook message. I'm like, is this a joke? Like, what would... And she's like, no, she wants you... it was apparently some guy that knew the owner from Vale Todo, got in touch and whatever. Megumi asked for me. She said, I want to fight, you know, in Japan and in their culture, they, for the retirement bout, they pick their toughest opponent. They pick the toughest opponent to retire them. And I guess it's kind of like a challenge, like, let's see where I go. I mean, sure. If I go as, you know. So I said, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? It's amazing. And people, when I told them, like, I'm going to fight Megumi, I'm like, they were like, are you fucking crazy? You already beat her. Where are you going to go to her country to fight again? And then you could lose and you're not going to be number one. I'm like, I'm not going to go lose. Yeah. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? I was like, I told Jen. Jen's like, no. I'm like, you know, I'm like, shut the fuck, get out of my face. You're sitting here. I thought you were going to be happy. You're sitting here telling me why I'm going to go to her country. I'm like, no. So anyways, I mean, for me, it was an honor to get that invitation,
yeah.
You know. And then... to be able also to take my mom to Japan with me. And that was the first fight that she had ever been to.
Oh, wow.
So it was a special moment for me. And, you know, the treatment that they have, I mean, that they, the way they treat people is just...
Japanese culture.
Oh, my, yeah, the Japanese culture is... Yeah, it's just all respect. And they go to fight. Like, Japanese fighters,
yeah.
They are tough. They come to fight. And we're talking about the best woman pound for pound ever. She's, you know, her accomplishments, just everything she's done in the sport. I mean, you know, she's a legend. And after the fight, obviously, you know, things happened in the fight that I wasn't happy about, the eye poke and things, you know, that happened. But after the fight, when I won, she couldn't continue in the second round, and I won the fight. Her father came up to me, and this is kind of like a movie thing, you know. Her father came up to me, and he's like, "We're passing the torch on to you."
Oh wow!
He says, "That's awesome." And he's still like, I cried a little bit, you know, a little tear came down. He says, he says, "We're passing the torch on to you, and we believe that you're gonna be a great champion as well, and you're going to do a lot of good things for the sport."
Wow.
And for me, that was like,
that's awesome.
That was pretty amazing. Cool. Yeah. And it was all respect. It was so much respect. Like, you know, even when I was leaving, when we were leaving the airport, Megumi surprised me at the airport with her crew to give me and my mom presents. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
She surprised us at the airport. Like, we were like, okay, what are we waiting for? They were like, hold on, another van pit. And Megumi came out to say goodbye. You know, and then she said she was getting married in Mexico and she wanted me to go to her wedding, and so I'm waiting for that. So we're going to Cancun. I said, well, you come to my country? Tequila.
There we go.
So yeah, it's I mean, amazing memories. Japan's been one of my favorites. You know, in the sports, since I've been in the sports, you know, I've met great people. I've learned about different cultures. I've traveled the world. I mean, the sport. Now, you know, meeting you guys, it's just, you know, you meet friends that become family.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a pretty cool ride, but I'm not over yet.
And how far back do you two go?
Oh my gosh.
So what? 10?
Yeah,
8 years?
10 years.
Yeah,
something like 10 that, years.
Huh? We were one of the first.
10 years.
Spartans.
Yeah.
Rangers at American Top Team.
Yeah.
We're the originals.
That really gained, like,
when we were at the houses with Juliana Barges, remember?
Yep. Shelby, right?
Shelby back in the day. Wow. 10 years. Man.
We've seen
a
lot of people come and go.
And go, exactly.
And too strong.
We've seen the sport continue growing.
Yeah.
You know? And the good thing that we've been fortunate is we've grown with the sport. So,
yeah.
Like Thiago, I mean, he's super, you know, superstar here. And we're just... We're here still, you know.
One of the things I love about Jess, because it's kind of like a competition. She's so humble, you know, that I feel like,
yeah.
All right, you know, I can't let her out humble me.
This is
this is the number one girl in the world we're talking about here. And see the way that, like, she talks. You know, she's so humble. It's amazing. That's why, you know, we love her. Jessica's being, you know, the number one girl in American Top Team, you know, for years. And I think she'll be for many, many years to come.
Oh, thank you. That's amazing.
Yeah. I like to say she's one of the guys. You know,
that's my girl. See, that's how I feel. That's how I feel.
I got it.
But the bikini, the bathing suit is coming. Just
I've seen
anybody that, you know, is interested.
Put it out. So you got about 50,000 people right now. They're all waiting. They're gonna break the internet as soon as they listen to this episode.
Show them what you got.
Show them what you're working with, Jess.
I got a question. It has nothing to do with what we were just talking about. Just okay. You know, yes. It's been in my head, and I got some random questions sometimes. I know the answer to that. It's actually in 2 hours. It's 9:36 at 11:36. I'm about to eat it again. But it's like when I was, you know, injured and I couldn't train as much, like I was losing weight. Yeah. You know, I had a hard time like keeping weight in, and I was eating, you know, I was not like starving or anything. I was eating normal. I mean, you don't get as hungry as you get when you're competing and training, but you know, I was actually losing weight. You know, I was 188, you know, 187. And for me to see the 188, 187, when I'm training, it's just fight week, you know. So I want to ask you, why is that? You know, when I'm actually training, I get heavier. Is that because I eat more? I mean,
you
maybe.
You were turning into a civilian.
Yeah.
There you were.
I was losing my Spartan card.
You were.
It's awesome. Putting the demand on your body to keep replicating muscle tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So your body, it's a use it or lose it format. Without getting too science heavy, you weren't stimulating the muscle cells to continue growing or even to maintain the size that you currently had for the type of training that you were doing.
I still like carrying a lot of muscle, but I was just like the shape of my body was just different. I was lean still, you know, at 187, 180, still lean, but
your muscles just probably weren't as round.
Yeah,
full.
Yeah, I was like, it wasn't like I just got done working out, and I was just a little bit flabby, but I was like 187, 188, this is amazing, it's going to be so easy. And then I get back to training, I'm like 195, 200, it's like, all right, we're back.
That was
the big birdie.
The Incredible Hulk, going back to Bruce Banner.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, so I just wanted to know. Why?
It's just the training effect.
Training effect.
Simply the training. Because you were eating similar to how you eat right now or in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
Probably cheating just a little bit more at that time. But
yeah,
not every day.
Not every day, no.
Because I have my notes.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you're like injured or you're going through a surgery or something, do you recommend athletes or, you know, for us to eat the same? Or?
Well, it depends on the surgery and, you know, what you've got going on.
Similar, we always stick with the principles, so keep following the same principles. And what we try and do is, you know, in times of injury or psychological distress, we want to manage the emotions, which is important. So with Tiago, it's a matter of, because he had the ACL surgery, he had a torn pec, some serious injuries that he couldn't train around. Now, where you know, you had an injury that you were able to train around for a little while, which is awesome to see you keep going in the gym. But when you can't go to the gym, then you need to start really focusing on the mind, train the mind. And I know that's what Tiago did. He really so took that same type of focus that he would have going to the gym for 4 hours and turned it, made it inflective, focused on himself and focused on kind of being, you know, a more mature champion. And how is he going to, you know, approach life and, you know, approach sport? And you look around this house and there's so many books here, inspirational books and movies and things like that. So he used the downtime as a positive. Though physically his body, you know, he lost, let's say, 6 or 8 pounds of muscle tissue that's easy to reclaim. And what he gained, you know, in mental strength and emotional strength was much larger. And that's what happens with a lot of people and people listening. You go through ups and downs in life, no matter what it is, but it doesn't mean it's time to quit or it's time to totally self-destruct and let your whole life go to hell. There's other great things that you can do that'll benefit you.
Yeah, even you can always improve.
If you don't have money and you can't go hang out with your friends, well, there's certain things that you can do around your house or with your family or those near to you. If you don't have money to go to a gym and work out, Well, you can go for a walk outside. You can go to a park. You can call up friends and get a weekly, you know, football game or soccer game going. There's other ways to do, you know, just to use, you know, a very simple analogy. There's other ways to transfer that type of focus. So you're always building something.
Right.
And that's kind of, you know, what I circle it back to. So the principles should never change, whether you're a professional athlete or, you know, you're, you know, a high school, you know, student or, you know, you're a lawyer or office worker. The principles that we follow are always, number one is earth, grow, nutrients. We eat real food. Number two is we eat every 2 to 4 hours based on what we just did, what we're about to do. Number three is we eat until we're satisfied, not until we're full. Number four is we stay accountable. And whether you're injured or whether you're getting ready for a world title fight, it's the same principles. You have to eat real food every 2 to 4 hours until you're satisfied, but not until you're full, because obviously that spills over, digestive distress. And you stay accountable, which means you have to do it every 2 to 4 hours, every day, and that's where a lot of people fall off. So injured, not injured, doesn't really matter. We stick to the nutritional principles, and then we start to focus on the other factors of life. You know, we break those down, and I call it the four Fs, where we have our fitness, we have our family, we have our finances, and we have our future. So you should be always looking to build those four Fs. And if your fitness suffers to a degree, well, we built the foundation of fitness through exercise when we can, or through nutrition, that we're able to be a fully functioning family member. A good husband, a good son, a good mother, a good, you know, what have you. And then finances, well, that's work, because if you don't have your finances in order, then your family's going to fail and your future's going to fail. And then futures, what are you doing to make yourself better? Are you educating yourself? Or are you spreading good vibes in the world like you definitely do? How are you building that future outside of what you currently are today? As long as we focus on that.
That's cool. That's cool. So every 2 to 4 hours.
Every 2 to 4 hours.
Same thing. That's so not in our house.
These are, and you know, people.
We time like, it. We got like a timer.
We get bagged on. People bag on me like, oh, what I Dolce teaches, there's nothing new about that. Well, we're teaching what works. There's nothing new that you have to breathe oxygen to survive. That's not new. But if you stop following that, you try to breathe carbon dioxide, you're going to die. Same thing with these nutritional principles. I think what we do is we just really hammer the basics, and then we find ways to make it enjoyable. We have 300 recipes in our cookbook. Well, that's something that not a lot of other people have. You know, we took the time to actually scale out three.
They are delicious.
That are delicious, you know? Yeah. So those are the little things. There we go. Tiago has his famous pit bull pancakes named after this man right here.
Uh-huh.
We've got to come up with something for you.
So. Yeah.
Manny, you can help me work on that, please.
Graham cracker delight.
That'll be a book.
Mexican inspired. There we go.
Put some jalapeno in the graham cracker delights.
We'd be in trouble.
That would be interesting.
But, Jack fajitas.
Fajitas.
Fajitas are great. Pepper is nice.
We'll think about it.
Yeah. What were you talking about? You got me thinking about graham cracker delights.
Threw him off.
Threw me off my game.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. That's in the first book.
That is in the first
book. Page 49 on the
I think so.
No, we're talking about what, you know, during an injury.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah that's...
other things to focus just, on. But you had made the comment, somebody might say, oh, Dolce, what he has is not new. But what's so different is you took... You took the same research that other people can get and you implemented it into something that works.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what's so different is you did enough research and you made something work. You made this model that whether it works for quote-unquote civilians or it works for fighters, like it's so different than what other people, like I said, when you walk in the house, it's like this energy that is just like this feeling of
relief. Sure.
When I watch him, like people ask me now, how's Tiago? I'm like, oh, Dolce is here. Everything's good. Like, I watch him go through this transition. He's eating so many meals. His color looks good. His face looks good. He doesn't look drawn. And I see this transition happen. And to me, it's just amazing. That, by the way, is why I cried at the weigh-in. You know what I mean? Like, it's especially when I heard the stories about what he used to go through before. I mean, it's like night and day.
I think it's awesome, you know, for the public in general, for the, you know, the regular, you know, say the civilians and everything. But I know Mike took the weight cut, you know, for professional athletes, especially for MMA, you know, and to a whole another level, you know, because everybody, you know, has a common knowledge of diet, what you should eat and stuff like that, you know. But the way that he made me cut the weight, you know, and made the process enjoyable again. Because, you know, I used to hate it. You know, I used to hate everything about cutting weight. You know, now I see as I'm getting, it's a cleaning. So I'm cleaning my body for war, you know, and throughout the whole process, I'm enjoying everything because I know I'm going to be at my best at fight time. You know, and that's the problem with a lot of guys out there. They have no idea what people have no idea what we do, because, you know, it's amazing. And like I get start smiling just talking about, because it's not simple, you know, but it works, and at the same time you enjoy it. And I don't think people understand it. You actually go through, you actually work with Mike, you know, to see how different it is, and at the same time how efficient, you know, like. I made a weight a day before, and you know, that never happened in my career without suffering.
And how important, you know, it is for your body to feel that way.
And I was healthy. I was 100%. And the next day, I was feeling like $1 million, you know, like I'm ready to perform. It doesn't matter if it's two guys, three guys in front of me. I'm going to go through them, you know. And that's the difference about in the dojo lifestyle. You know, it works for professional athletes, that you have to lose extreme amount of weight one day, next day, you know, you have to perform, you have to exhaust your body, you know, through a certain level of, you know, I don't think a lot of people go through, and, you know, and you be at your best, you know, and not many people are able to combine and do that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. What we've done, and this is, you know, are the thing that makes what we, I think one of the key to our success is what most people, the people that do try to criticize us, which is a very small percentage of the population that do, we've made a complex issue accessible to everybody. Where there's people with PhDs and, you know, have spent their entire life studying nutrition and exercise science, and they speak as if they've spent their entire life studying nutrition and exercise science. And they're speaking to a group of people that... Right. Can only understand high-level nutrition and exercise science. They don't realize that there's 7 billion plus people on this planet that can't spell exercise science, but they're 40 pounds overweight and they need a way out now. And that's what we've pointed our content and curriculum to, like this show. We're here bullshitting, having fun, and the stories that we're uncovering, people take these stories to heart. And this podcast right now is changing people's lives. Every podcast that we do, we get amazing stories from people. Though we're cursed and we're making jokes and we're having fun and we're telling booty jokes. But through all that is a lot of usable content. So what we did with our system, we chose not to. And I say that in the introduction to all my books. I'm not going to prove I'm smart. I'm not going to prove I'm smarter than anybody reading this. What I am going to do is I'm going to give you a very easy system that you can start following immediately. And I'm going to give you real life examples as to how this worked. And I'm going to give you my thoughts behind it. And I'm going to point you in the direction that you can go on Google right now, and you can fact check me. And you can see if this stuff's correct. But I'm not going to waste 300 pages giving you definitions and pointing to scientific studies and you know, discussing, you know, what other people have found. I'm telling you, this is what works.
Right.
Make this recipe, do this, train like this, and you're going to get the body you want. And that's, it's just accessibility to content. And that's something that was very hard. And as me coming up, and I have every nutrition book out there. I have most every, you know, exercise book out there. And I probably haven't read one of them cover to cover without wanting to shoot myself. Because they're so goddamn boring. Just to get the little kernels of information, you have to muddle through so much
information that's like, how is this? How can I really apply this?
And who cares? Yeah. Who cares? You're smart. We get it. Yeah. You're smart. Great.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you helping me? We're not. Yeah. They're not. So what we wanted to do, and why we, you know, a lot of our books, they're very story-based. I talk about my own life and my father having a stroke and me, you know, cutting weight as, you know, as a high school wrestler. So it's very first-person perspective in our story, so people can understand and they can take that information and move it forward. And that's, again, so working with the athletes, well, shit, I've been there. I've done that. You know, I've collapsed in saunas myself. I remember being packed in a sauna as a high school wrestler, packed so tightly. Everybody had plastics on, and by plastics, I mean hefty garbage bags. This is high school.
Right.
A bunch of 13 to 17-year-old kids packed into a sauna so tight, the coaches couldn't lock the door. They had to lean on the door, and two guys actually passed out but never fell to the floor because we were packed so tightly shoulder to shoulder, nobody could collapse.
Wow.
I mean, that's what we went. I went through. Right. So I've been there, done that, and I go, fuck, there's got to be another way. There's got to be a better way.
And, you know, and the good thing about you is that, you know, you bring... You like what you do. You love what you do, you know, and you've experienced it yourself, yeah. And now you're just, you know, sharing it. You're spreading it, the Dolce love.
There we go.
The Dolce love. You're just, you know, and that's amazing. And you know, that's why you're where you're at because of your passion, I think. And you know, you just
it works, people.
It works.
It really works. And yeah. You know, one of the main problems I had with dieting it was the taste. You know, I hate the way the healthy food tastes. And, you know, Dolce, he enjoys, you can see when he's prepping the meals, you know, he actually enjoyed the whole process of cooking and everything. And if I have any questions, he explained why he does this way and that way. And when the finished product comes, you know, it tastes amazing. You know, if I could, you know, like today is the only day I'm allowed to have more than one plate, you know. But if I could, most of the time I'll have 2 to 3 plates, you know. But that's, he helped me... enjoy cooking again, you know. Like I used to hate cooking. I'd rather just go out and eat something, you know, not waste the time. And now, like my weekends, I spend cooking, you know, because I kind of learned how to do it. That's you awesome. Know, I'm not saying I'm as good as Dolce, you know, but I'm like second.
So you got your purple belt this week, though.
Yeah.
I did. Really?
Yes, sir. You did.
What dish was it?
I don't know. It was just like my habits. That,
yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah, habit based.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. You know, that's awesome. And I'm fortunate enough to have a registered dietitian at home.
I know. That's like a cheat sheet.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Who teaches me, you know, and then I also, you know, pick your brain all the time. And
always.
Diego shows me, you know, some Dolce tricks.
You cook so much, Jess?
I...
I ate some mean
guacamole once.
Right?
That's
See? No, I don't.
You are blessed to have Elena.
I'm blessed to have Elena. Yes. You know, and she tells me, like, you know, and the problem with me too is obviously, you know, I mean, I can always ask you and you know, I don't want to bother you out doing your own thing and you know, helping other fighters cut weight and things like that. But
I mean,
so there's some time, you know, before I had, you know, a registered dietitian, I didn't know much about different things, nutrition and stuff like that. Now, you know, I'm like, okay, I know that I'm lactose intolerant. I know there's different foods that I can eat. Yes, I am.
Oh, wow.
I mean, do I still eat cheese? Yes, I do. But not as much. But just having her, she's like, okay, well, you need to do this. Like, you know, after training, I mean, I would run 10,000 errands, you know, go do different.
Before eating.
Before
Ooh,
eating.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, but.
I'm like, are you crazy?
Yeah. And I'm like, what? You know,
you're
so.
So
then she explains it to me. She's like, this is what's happening to your body. And it's very helpful. And
sure.
This is the knowledge that you also bring to the athlete,
yeah.
You know, that it's so important to eat before and after and hydrate properly and do all these things. And, you know, yes, a lot of people think, oh, that's just normal, right? But, I mean,
no.
Athlete,
if you
want to
be the best, you got to do the best. I mean, your body, if you want a Ferrari, you got to put in the best fuel consistently.
So that's been easier for me to learn.
Yeah.
And then with you know, I always looking at your posts and you know, tricks that you do. And so it's helped me a lot. I've also grown in that department. I've matured a little bit with my eating. I feel, you know, I know.
I think, though, like you said, like when I explain to you, you know, what happens when you don't eat and when you do, you know, the importance of the nutrition along with the intense training that you go through, I think that helps a person and an athlete in particular kind of like, oh my God, I'm breaking down muscle. I'm taking 10 steps back instead of taking 10 steps forward. I think that really makes a big difference because some people, you know, that's when you get kind of down to that science part of it and people don't know that science part. And when you kind of educate a person and tell them, dude, you just trained like an animal, and now you're going to go, you know, run a million errands. And,
but
and
if
your body is depleted, let's you need to refuel and get those muscles and back into recovery and growth.
If she wasn't my girlfriend or she wasn't you, I would be like, like I wouldn't even.
But that explanation kind of like brings you back.
But
to
somebody that I can relate to, or somebody like your, you know, like you. This is what you do. You've been there. You've done that. You're help. You, this is what you do for athletes. This is, you know, you've experienced that and you have the knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are very valuable to us. Like, I'm, you know.
Yeah.
This is.
Tiago and I were talking earlier today to compete. At this level, at the highest level of professional sports and mixed martial arts, you can't neglect your nutrition and your strength and conditioning. There's a lot of athletes that think they can just spar. I'm going to get in shape by sparring, or I'm going to wrestle hard. You know, the college wrestler mentality.
How are you going to spar hard with an empty tank?
Exactly.
Doesn't make sense.
Exactly. Now it's the new era. And that's the athletes like you guys that embrace this now. You're the ones that are going to dominate the sport. That's you're gonna be able to absorb the techniques
that
your skills coaches are giving you. You're gonna be able to push at a harder pace in training. You're gonna be in better conditioning. Your body's gonna repair, recover, rebuild at a much faster rate. You're gonna offset most injuries now as a result of that, and you're just gonna continue to dominate. I mean, that's because everybody seems to have great striking coaches and great wrestling coaches and great grappling coaches. And you know, in the United States, it's very easy to have access to high level strength and conditioning coaches. And nutrition, which Elena and I know is the most important facet, is the most neglected by most athletes. If they're training hard enough, they can eat a burger and have some soda.
Yeah. And what bothers me, too, is a lot of, you know, these people coming into the industry and saying, oh, I'm a nutrition expert and I'm a health expert. And it's like, well, why? Since when? Where did you get these credentials from? Because you did maybe a few bodybuilding shows or you did a CrossFit. And no offense to CrossFit and all these things, but that doesn't give you the credibility or the experience to advise top professional athletes on how to properly, you know, feed themselves.
Absolutely.
You know, and but that's gives us, you know, a bad name, or we don't get as much credit as we should, or we don't get compensated the way we should, because there's all these people now, you know, out there saying, oh, well, I know what to do. I'm going to write you a 5-meal plan, and you're going to be in the best shape of your life.
But that's why you find people like Dolce and your,
but,
you know,
and you have to make sure and do your research on the people that you have helping you, especially when it comes to nutrition. I always say it's 80-20, if not more.
Absolutely.
You know? You guys, like you said, you can have the best training.
We're in good
in the
hands.
World. If you don't have that the people
Diago,
and the good nutrition,
we're in good hands.
Oh yeah,
Dolce diet.
That's the truth. You guys are hooked up.
Yeah,
we're hooked.
Maybe we shouldn't be sharing this information.
Oh no, we should share it. We want
to
share it. Share it.
People need to know.
We no,
they
we
need
they
to
need
know people.
People need to know. They need to use more of this. People need to be on the Dolce diet.
It's not a paid advertisement. This
is how the show always goes. We always get back to just trying to use our examples to help people change their life, which is amazing.
And it's, you know, it becomes a lifestyle at the end of the day. It's, you know, it's not a diet. It's not this. It's a lifestyle. It becomes a lifestyle. It's just, you learn. It's just like going to school. You don't go to school knowing how to read. You have to learn. It's the same thing. You know... You ask a lot of questions.
It's really hard to go back to your old ways once you become healthier. You know, once you know that stuff works and you feel good, you know, and you try, you know, because, you know, we all sometimes you want to take a break from eating, you know, all this nice stuff, and you go and have a cheat meal, you know, and then you feel horrible after.
Like,
and I was like, dude, why am I going to do that to myself again? And that's where I'm at this point. That's why I got my purple belt, I think.
Let's hear
before,
your
before, you know, I used to eat. I used to be on a diet, you know. I mean, it became my lifestyle, but I wasn't, like, completely, like 100%, you know, into the lifestyle because, you know, my family, you know, we were bakers, you know, so my meal throughout the day was just calories, you know. My breakfast used to be a piece of bread with ham and cheese, you know, a banana, which is a banana with milk, you know, and you put in a blender, And, you know, that was breakfast, you know. Yeah. And if I'm lucky, my mom would throw, like, two, you know, fried eggs on top of the sandwich. And then lunch will be, like, rice and beans and pasta, you know, all on the same plate with, like, chicken and steak. You know, we'll eat steak almost, you know, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, you know, like, come in here and have to eat that, you know, and the veggies and all that stuff. And it was really, really hard. But once I got used to it, you know, and I see the transformations in my body, you know, the my fat percentage.
You know, like, where were you all my life?
That's pretty much how I feel.
What was hard for you with the veggie thing? Like the taste, or you just weren't used to it? So
the taste, like the taste, I was not used to have nothing green in my house. There was nothing green. Like the only thing we eat green was just a lettuce, and the lettuce in Brazil is that big one.
And
you only see that on hamburgers, you know, and that's it. Like broccoli or stuff like that. Who eats that? You know? Like, what are you? Are you a cow or something? You know, like,
it was just good to
I never really try it, you know, and it was just rice and beans and chicken steak. And that was, and even drinking water, you know, I drink a lot more water today, you know, than I used to drink back then. You only drink water when you're thirsty. You know? Now I drink water just because.
That's the gas, right?
That's it. Yeah.
It's water's the best. Water's everything.
Oh. We always say that survival, 2 minutes without oxygen, 2 days without water, 2 weeks without food. So when you prioritize what's most important, oxygen is involuntary response. It's hard to not breathe, even if you're trying not to.
Right.
Water is most people neglect, where they're drinking soda all day, they're drinking milk all day, they're drinking processed juices all day.
Coffee.
Think coffee. Yeah. CavemanCoffeeCo.com. but they neglect water because they think they're drinking fluid, so that's the same as water, and that's completely, completely different. And most of the time, all the processed beverages cause a negative effect.
Right. Yeah.
So water, and then we eat earth grown nutrients, and life is good.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you ever get the question like, I want to be healthy and I want to get in shape, but it's too expensive to eat healthy?
We have done a whole podcast on it. They say,
the most common,
I want to lose weight, but I won't eat vegetables, Dolce. How do I do that? And I'm like, go fuck off. Get away from me.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You know, you're not a 4-year-old kid. You're a grown-ass man.
Right.
Be fat, die young, or
eat some fucking broccoli.
You know, it's that simple. Exactly. And here's, you know, 300 recipes that we came up with that taste fucking awesome. That's too hard for you. Get the fuck out of my face. Go on Weight Watchers, waste your money, get fat, pollute your body.
Right.
So anybody listening, you know, but they know because they hear me talk about this all the time. So awesome. The people that they don't want to eat clean, but they want to look like they do.
Yeah.
Well, that's never going to happen. The people that they're too busy to work out, they're not busier than we are.
Yeah.
I know what every person in this room does, and we are busier than most doctors and lawyers out there based upon the lifestyles that we have, the travel schedules that we have, and the demands of our job, where our jobs are pretty much shown, you know, on TV weekly. You know, the whole world watches us and is waiting for us to fuck up every time we go out there to perform our duties. So we're under that microscope, and we still perform at a very high level, and we have to be healthy and fit the entire time. But to answer your question, those that say, oh, it's too expensive, well, that's fucking bullshit. Because tell me what the plan is on your cell phone. Oh, you got that iPhone that you really fucking need? Bullshit. For $19.99, you can have a flip phone. You can text mom, and you can call the people you need to. Let's talk about priorities here. Tell me about your cable system. Oh, you got cable TV? You don't fucking need that bullshit. For years, we had $9.99 on Netflix, $7.99 on Hulu. Right?
That was the best.
Just got cable. Like,
that was the best.
Oh my gosh. Like a couple months ago.
Have you noticed how many fucking pharmaceutical commercials there are?
Oh my gosh.
We barely even watch it. And then when we watch it with the commercials, I'm like, this is ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I can't.
So, and then, you know, people that waste their money on, I'll use Starbucks. Happy hour, alcohol,
or Starbucks.
There's so many
annoying Jamba Juice
purchases that are made. Yeah, which is horrible.
Don't even get me started.
So many purchases are made. But also, what I say is the average person at any one time has $120 worth of food in their house that is not going to be eaten and gets thrown out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether it's leftovers and meals that they donate, they put in the back of their fridge, whether it's produce that they bought that has gone bad, whether it's a freezer that is filled, and you think in terms of inventory, their freezer is filled with inventory that never gets used, $20, $40, $60 worth of food that never gets used, that could be put into somewhere that's local, that's fresh.
Yep.
So what we do is we go shopping every 2 to 3 days, and we only buy 2 to 3 days worth of food that's going to be bad. It's going to go bad. So we either eat it or it goes bad, and we have to go get more.
Yeah.
And we only, and this is Tiago and I, we spoke about this stuff. We're dropping knowledge, people. Is we only prepare what we're actually going to consume.
Yeah.
So we don't make food that there's going to be leftovers. If I'm eating 6 ounces of chicken, I make 6 ounces of chicken. I don't make 8 or 10 or 12 ounces.
Yeah.
I make my 6 and I eat it, and that's it. So now, you know, there's, what, 16 ounces in a pound. If I get, you know, I can get 3 basic meals for me. I'm a 200-pound guy. I can, you know, 6 ounces at a time. 6, 12, I got 4 left over that adds on to another pound. That's 3 meals right there. Most people, they're going to eat their 12, 16 ounces of chicken in one feeding, and they're going to get their other complementary proteins, let's say, from their produce, their vegetables, their carbohydrates that are also on the plate, and they're thinking, I need 40 grams of protein or 25 grams of protein, and they're going to get 25, 40 grams of protein only from their animal protein, and they're going to neglect the other proteins that are on the plate. So there's very simple ways to take your produce or your grocery budget and chop it down.
Yeah.
But most people are too lazy to do that. They like to make excuses. They want to stop at Subway every day because they're at work and it's easy. They're going to get lunch at the food truck down the street, where if your health is truly important to you, you're going to make the hard decisions so your health is a priority.
Sure. I used to, when I would go grocery shopping, I would take pictures of whenever there would be, like, buy one, get one, broccoli, like, bags of broccoli or whatever sales there were. I'm like, oh, eating healthy is expensive, and I would take pictures and I would post them, like, on my social media and stuff. There are a lot of sales.
Absolutely.
And let's say you can't afford organic food. Fine. Well, there's frozen, you can always have frozen food.
Absolutely.
And there's a misconception that frozen foods are bad when they're really not. Sometimes they're better.
Again, we spoke about this yesterday.
Yeah.
We were at the Sam's Club.
When you freeze them, the nutrients get
flash frozen.
They get flash frozen, so the nutrients are they maintain their quality.
Yeah.
You know, and there you go.
But people don't
know
that.
People can afford, and that's the thing. Yeah. Like
they choose not, but they know the batting stats of their
going
favorite
to,
first baseman on some team that has nothing to do with them, and they'll buy the, no offense, UFC, they'll buy the $60 UFCs, and they'll fucking order, you know, a $5.99 2-for-1 pizza from Papa John's, because they're not going to spend $9.99 for a pound of grass-fed steak.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Or your book.
Or my book.
Hello.
Come on, $9.99 on Kindle, motherfuckers.
That's right.
Can't be cheaper than that. You only got to buy one.
Full of knowledge.
You got to keep buying. It's not like a protein powder or, you know, a supplement
keep
that you have to buy.
That's right.
It
and you
know,
and you have, with recipes and you know, you have people here that have tried it.
And we give free recipes on our newsletter every week.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Come on. I mean, we, as much
I mean,
free
these
content
are lazy.
As we can
it's
give,
lazy.
We give.
That's so cool.
Being
so,
lazy. There's no excuses.
So how do you guys come up with your recipes?
It's trial and error.
Yeah.
We call them battle tested.
That's awesome.
You know, in the kitchens in here. You like that? Like,
that's
awesome. I fucking love that. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That is
that's
awesome.
A, you know, and that's...
Yeah, yeah.
I
that's
always...
That's how you do
yeah.
you know? That's the same. Yeah, that's
making
awesome.
Mistakes in the kitchen is awesome.
Yeah.
You find out what not to do. So it helps you perfect what you want to do.
Yeah.
And we use principles. I probably use the same basic ingredients over and over. It's like eggs. You can have eggs 7 different ways using the exact same ingredients
totally.
That week. So it's never the same meal, so it seems, but it's always the same nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Just gotta be creative.
Have fun with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love cooking.
Inexpensive. Like, talking about money, like, I have no problem paying $6 for a dozen eggs. People freak out. Oh, you fucking crazy. $6 for... It's 50 cents an egg.
Yeah.
It's a dollar for breakfast for most people. Eating.
Yeah.
It's a dollar, $1.50. You'll go to fucking IHOP and spend $15 for a plate of shit, but you won't spend $1.75 for some eggs and some oats in your own damn house.
Crazy.
That's completely organic, non-GMO.
Lazy.
But they,
crazy.
You know, people freak out about that. They'll spend $1.99 on these disgusting fucking science project eggs. I'm talking to you listening right now. You know I'm talking to you. Don't feed that shit to your kids. How
don't.
Dare you? It's a whole nother. Yeah.
So
yeah.
What are some of your favorite or not so favorite like diet fads? Like, how do you feel about paleo?
Now, I'm good friends with Rob Wolf, if you know Rob, from the Paleo Solution. Rob is an amazing guy. He's brilliant. And he and I, we agree
disagree?
We agree on almost everything. And Rob has actually said that the paleo diet is for people transitioning from processed food diets. And I'm paraphrasing. I'm not quoting Rob directly.
Sure.
But those people that are extremely obese, they have serious issues, they have lifestyle issues. The paleo diet is a very simple, easy diet for people to understand and transition into a more moderate lifestyle.
Yeah.
When I heard him explain that, I immediately agreed.
Yes.
And I was a hater on paleo. Because I remember when the paleo fad came out, all these MMA athletes were jumping to paleo, and then they're gassing out in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
They're getting fucking hurt and injured and tired, and they're just eating gobs of bacon and fucking fat.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And almost no carbohydrates. Telling me I'm a fucking idiot because I'm having my athletes still eat oatmeal.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden,
sweet potatoes.
All of a sudden that becomes bad.
Yeah.
And then what happens? All the athletes jump off, and they come out with a new, like, paleo for athletes. Well, no, it's not fucking paleo anymore. And it's always been, you know, our diet system has always been a diet of moderation. Whether you're a vegan or you're a meat-eating carnivore, you know, if you're gluten-free or lactose intolerant, you can follow our system because it's principles. And that's something that we feel is important because everybody, based upon health history, based upon economic ability, based upon geography, where you are, what foods are local and natural in your indigenous area, that is important. So any program that excludes your ability to eat based upon where you live or what you can afford is not a sustainable program.
It's not realistic, sure.
So we've been sustainable. So paleo, I like that transitional aspect to it. And Rob talks about rice and potatoes. Like, he's a big fan of white and brown rice. He eats that all the time. Well, that's very unpaleo. And so, you know, he was kind of pigeonholed because he wrote a great book, which I've read a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
It's very solid. It's nice to hear. But there's, like, Atkins diet, obviously, is shit. The Zone diet, as far as the 40-40-20 ratio, that's not too bad, but that's just a jumping off point, as you know.
For some people, it's easier. You know, there's some people that like to track things and count things. So I think for them, for someone that has that type of mind, it works well. But again, it's like that transition.
It's transition, and that's kind of weak. Teach that you eat earth grow nutrients, which is another term for whole foods. But when I would say whole foods, people think they can just walk in Whole Foods and buy whatever's there. And that's okay. Well, they sell fucking really bad shit there too.
Yeah, chocolate covered anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's.
But it's from Whole Foods.
Right? It's organic. Dark chocolate.
Right?
What
about you? Any diet fads, anything that really get your goat?
Paleo.
Paleo.
Yeah, can't eat this. Is this paleo? Is that paleo? It's like...
Too restricted.
Well, if you really want to get down to it, paleo depended back in the Paleolithic era, what area of the continent you lived on.
Yeah.
So if you lived in the north and there weren't pineapples or whatever fruits and vegetables in the north, that's not what they ate.
Yeah.
So I have an issue with that because... You
they
know,
just don't
paleo
know.
Paleo just depends on where you live.
But they just don't know.
Time.
And that's what you guys are
you
there
know?
For, to educate us and tell us, to
but
explain.
That's probably my biggest...
The biggest one. And
yeah.
There were no cars in the Paleolithic period. There were no TVs. That's cool. There's no whiskey, but most of those paleo eaters fucking get drunk as fuck.
Or bacon.
Yeah. No bacon back then.
And sliced thick bacon.
There was
and donuts.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, donuts is like the thing.
Is donut part of any diet?
Oh boy, you
it's a paleo.
I'm just surprised. I don't like donuts.
It's like that's what you eat. You can train as hard and as much as you want, and then you can eat an entire box of donuts. Like,
what we were talking. Remember, I told about
that's crazy.
Carb backcycling.
Oh yeah.
Or the if it fits your macros.
Exactly.
Crew.
Exactly.
Is that
macros? That word kind of like it makes me angry a little. Macros.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Macros. Get two macros out of here.
Yeah.
Take your macros and shit.
I remember I was texting a friend of mine and everything, and he was like explaining me something and everything, and it's like, and this is a bunch of this quantity of macros and this and this. And did you just say macros in a text? I gotta stop talking to him. Macros, ain't no macros here.
I had a client today ask me, or actually send in an email talking about our paleo meals at the company that I work for, and that string beans are not paleo. How could you include that in your paleo meals?
Wow.
Yeah, string beans. You're arguing about getting string beans in your meal.
Because they'll do what to her?
Because they're legumes.
And that will do
they're,
what to her? I
they're not paleo.
Then there they go. It wasn't
was
that
it.
Book that was written. Or
that's
that was it.
So that's the problem. Yep.
They're not paleo. They're a legume, and they're not a green, leafy green. Or
so how
whatever.
Did you? What did you tell her?
I didn't even. I couldn't. No. I'm saving that one for another day. I was like, can someone else handle this? Fortunately, I'm the only dietitian there. But I just couldn't. I couldn't handle that one today. But
that's tough.
I'm going to have to find... I'll probably back it up with a bunch of research and school her in some way or another. But, I mean...
Hopefully she doesn't listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Green beans. Yeah. Says, you know, and it, again, it depends on who you ask. Some people will eat green beans and they won't. And some people will eat sweet potatoes on a paleo diet and some people won't. I mean,
it's convenient. It sounds cool when they talk about it in the gym or in the club, but in real life, we know they're cheating. It's very rare have I ever met anybody that follows their meal plan consistently.
Yeah.
It's like a paleo, a restrictive meal plan. It's not just paleo.
Yeah.
A restrictive meal plan. They typically jump off.
Well, I follow the Dolce lifestyle to
right.
the teat now.
That's
what's
up. That's
so, like, I don't think
you're
that's
talking
a
about.
Bad thing either. You know, like, it's okay to cheat. Like, I don't.
What
is
your recommendation for cheat meals?
Dang.
Well, we don't cheat.
2 times a month. we have earned meals.
Earned meals. Those, that's good. That's awesome.
The psychological side, there's a positive connotation associated with this. You've earned the ability to go and enjoy this. And it's more for the social and the emotional component of life than just that urge to eat a piece of cheesecake or McDonald's, which is bullshit. But, like, it's your birthday or it's Christmas. Be a human.
Yeah.
But what have you found? It's you've talked about, and this is when he got his purple belt.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, so some days, one of my favorite foods is, you know, barbecues. You know, I love pizza. I love chicken. Like, man food, you know, like burgers.
Man food.
Yeah. You know,
hey, I like that too, man.
Well, I'm speaking for myself as a man.
I'm like, wait,
so, you know,
I would just eat pizza every day all day.
Yeah, and I was ordering, like, from this different places. There are, like, awesome, you know, Italian burger joints and all that, you know. And it just ended up that I wasn't enjoying as much. It was just that want, you know. Of
craving, yeah. Probably.
Craving something different. And then I decided to stop making my cheat meals, you know, like making my own burgers with, yeah, my earned meals with, like, grass fed and, you know, getting my own, like, gluten-free pizza, you know, and I just add whatever I want to it, you know, and making my chicken wings, getting rid of, like, whole legs of chicken. I just did a little chicken wings, you know.
Yeah,
I get for my boy Dolce. Yeah. And it made my life that much better, that much enjoyable,
yeah.
Because I know exactly what I'm getting because I'm making it. So
yeah.
I know the taste. I'm looking for that specific taste, you know, and I'm making it. And I mean, it takes a little time to do it, you know, but it's so worth it at the end, you know. And you end up not eating as much.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I eat with my eyes more than with my stomach. And I order, like, 3 burgers, you know. I eat one, you know. And I have to eat the other 2 because
yeah.
we don't waste food in this house. You know?
That's
but
right.
Then, you know?
That's what was so funny. Since Dolce's been here, there's never leftovers. And there's always leftovers when we cook. And I was like,
that's
it's
awesome.
So good. It's so much healthier. It's a better
and
way
it's
to eat.
Like, it saves you money.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's funny when he talks
right?
about his earned meals because he said, after the fight, I would, like, honey bake chicken wings. You will find that recipe in the Dolce book. I would like
yep.
this by the time
yep.
I get back from my fight.
So we need to get
yeah,
that.
I was
yeah.
like, I'll have to talk
I
to Mike before chicken wings, too.
Yeah. So favorite way, I know I asked that already, but people outside probably don't know. Favorite way to make chicken wings, bake. Dolce, would it be grilled
yes.
or baked?
It would be baked.
Baked.
Yeah. The honey, yeah.
Not even mentioned fried because, you know, it's not even an equation. So,
unless we're in coconut oil,
oh.
and we do have the tropical fried chicken.
Oh, I don't think we've
had
that.
We have
that?
Oh.
Oh. That's a little more off season.
Amber?
I think that's in this cook,
that's
the Living Room Volume 1.
Really?
Yeah.
Coconut oil, huh?
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Oh, I need to get...
It's going down.
It's
sometimes we use oat bran or buckwheat if we're going gluten-free, and we'll add hemp seeds in there. and we'll sprinkle in coconut flakes.
Cooking with
eggs. Oh, I love oil. Coconut.
It's so good.
Mm.
It's so good.
You gotta try that.
Usually the baked chicken wings that we do the whole legs of chicken from like real big ass chickens, mm-hmm. not those tiny little baby. Yeah. We want to really bite into the wings and legs and the drumsticks, so they're like mad. It's like Fred Flintstone style. Yeah, get that shit for real. Mm. And we'll either do like our own barbecue sauce we'll make, or we'll do the honey glaze sauce. Yum. And it's super clean, super simple, very healthy, and it's, I mean, it's borderline earned meal, because you can have that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have that most any day that calls for a chicken meal. Yum. You just got to watch quantity, because that's where the earned part comes in. And, you know, doing this as long as I have, my earned meal pretty much becomes quantity of steak and, you know, like sweet potatoes and things that I normally eat anyway. It's very hard to eat off menu. I had a slice of pizza, gluten-free chicken pizza yesterday at Whole Foods. Fucked me up for like 12 hours.
Yeah, he was complaining.
Yeah. Fucked me up. It wasn't even as the first bite was good, the second bite was not so bad, the third bite.
How did Whole Foods have a gluten free pizza? They don't have a gluten free bakery.
That the pizza next to the butcher.
Yeah, they do. Next to the
I know they make pizza.
So they have
gluten free. I have like a personal question.
And maybe there we go.
Speaking of gluten free, if you don't follow a complete gluten free diet, is it still beneficial to sometimes eat gluten-free items? Because we have a lot of gluten-free stuff, but we are not diligent enough to completely eat gluten-free. So is it still worth it?
Misconceptions.
Because that's a really big...
There's a lot of gluten-free products that will mess you up even more than, say, a slice of Ezekiel bread.
They have to make up for the flavor, so there's more fat, there's more sugar.
So how do you make that decision?
I'm not gluten-sensitive, and most people are not gluten-sensitive. It's gluten... is a very overused term for most people. I think they, you know,
marketing. It's for all these food companies to market something new, right? Yeah. Natural was the word.
Yeah.
All natural. Now it's gluten free.
Yeah.
It's a fad.
People will buy it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And they think they're being healthy, but really, I mean,
if you don't have an insensitive, or if you're not sensitive to it, or intolerant, or the allergy doesn't exist.
So it's better to go, if you have the option of a gluten-free pizza versus an organic pizza and you don't have an insensitivity to gluten, then you should go for the organic.
I typically go for the regular pizza, not the gluten-free, because the gluten-free usually causes me more
damage.
Disruption,
yeah.
More damage, because there's, if you ever look at the ingredients on gluten-free products, it's like a paragraph.
Got to
throw
those gluten-free pizza away now.
I know. Gluten-free pizzas.
Right.
You just wrecked his world.
He just learned something.
If you're not allergic or sensitive to it, there's
that's
no
a fad though. Remember, it was fat free.
Avoid it.
Yeah.
So forever in the world, it was fat free,
yeah.
And then it was sugar free,
yeah.
And
sure.
Then it was no carbs, and now it's gluten free.
Yeah.
So it's we'd like to jump on the bandwagon with stuff, but
yeah.
It's natural. People will walk in and say, "Oh, I'm eating gluten free, so it's I'm good."
Right. My first question is, why are you allergic?
Yeah,
no,
but
it's
Elizabeth
healthier.
Hasselbeck
it's amazing.
Said so.
Yeah.
Dr. Oz.
Nice. So more people have lactose intolerance than they do gluten intolerances.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of the population has dairy on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
and they don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
Gluten, on the other hand, they'll spend the extra, you know, $4 on whatever that product is,
mm-hmm.
to get the gluten-free. That's not going to do
nothing.
That's interesting. I think there's a really big misconception out there about that.
Welcome to America.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How about, I don't eat late at night. I don't eat after 5 o'clock or after 6 o'clock.
Yeah, and that's
maybe another,
that's why you're fat.
Yeah, that's a good one.
How's that working for you? Because we typically eat, right before bed.
Mm-hmm.
Right before I fall asleep. I could eat sleeping if I
there were times when I was really training, I would set an alarm and wake myself up to eat,
yep.
and then go back to
my
bed.
Dad in Brazil, I woke up many times choking in the middle of the night. You know, you just wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and just walk to the refrigerator and eat whatever was in a plate on top, where like cold rice with chicken and all, and just ran eating, and like, you get choked out with the bones from the chicken. Just eat the fish cold. It's like, Dad, you gotta stop doing that, man. You know, like, I won't be here one night. many, many times I have to body lock and squeeze.
Really?
Yeah, like many times, just wake up in the middle of the night, and then my mom, Tiago, your dad is dying. And then I'll grab him, like, like a piece of a fish.
Like sleepwalk and eat.
Oh my god.
No, he was waking. He wake up in the middle of the night and to drink water, whatever, and to see something, you just munch on whatever was in the plate, you know, and sometimes it was bones and a fish, and most of the time it was fish and chicken.
Oh,
you just eat it. One time he spit it all, like a bone, a chicken bone, like this big.
Oh,
was
God.
So wow. You gotta stop that. And sometimes he woke me up, like, you know, like smacking his chest and everything. I was like, oh my God, here we go again. Many times. So yeah, I could probably, you know, eat sleeping because it runs in the family.
Learn the Heimlich, Amber.
I know. Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's always something to clean up in the morning. When I wake up in the morning, there's always a dish.
But he's allowed. He's allowed, right?
Well, that's his late night snack.
Yeah, he's allowed.
It's a Dolce approved snack.
It's a Dolce approved. Yeah, he's allowed. He's allowed. Yeah.
Yes. All right, guys. I think we're gonna wrap that up.
Cool.
Awesome. So, oh, by the way, Jessica Aguilar is nominated for Female Fighter of the Year. So everybody go to worldmmaawards.com. Be sure to vote for Jessica
and Dolce as the as the best trainer of the year
again.
Yeah.
So if anybody, everybody, get on there and vote.
Yes, do
it
now.
There we go. But this is time is up. I think this is the last day to vote. So if you're listening to this episode, immediately go to worldmmaawards.com and be sure to vote for Jessica Aguilar.
And Dolce for the best coach of the year.
Trainer. I'll take it all.
That's right.
Yeah. You see my face. Just vote.
Just vote.
Have Tiago Alves, who is the owner of TPA Clothing. Go to tpaclothing.com. Follow him at Tiago Alves ATT on Twitter and follow his Instagram. It's at Tiago Alves ATT Instagram.
At Tiago Alves ATT.
ATT. That's it. That's Instagram, the way to find him. Jessica Aguilar, AGUILAR. Go to jessicaaguilar.com. Also follow her at JAG, JAGGATT on Twitter.
JAGATT.
JAG. Don't listen to me. JAGATT. There we go. Elena, do you have a Twitter anywhere people can follow you?
Oh, I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm an Instagrammer more.
Oh, what's your... Can people follow your IG?
Yeah. Elena underscore Danielle.
Elena underscore Danielle. D-A-N-I...
E-L-E.
E-L-E.
Yeah.
Amber, you got anything they want to follow?
No, I don't.
Not yet. It's coming.
It's coming. You
it's
see
coming.
Amber popping up
training.
On Tiago's stream.
That's right. It's
you
coming.
You can just look my... I make comments.
It's coming. It's nice. Coming.
She has an opinion, people. She's going to let you know. Whether you're going to hear it or not.
Awesome, guys. We want to thank our sponsors, CavemanCoffeeCo.com. Use promo code Dolce. Save 10% off that white gold. That shit's so good. And their MCT oil, I love it. We use it every day for the Invincible Blend Coffee. Also, go to onnit.com/Dolce. Promo code Dolce. Save another 10% off all your good shit. For total human optimization. On it, everybody. You know we love them. And also cavemanfoods.com. Not related to Caveman Coffee, but Caveman is still fucking cool. So cavemanfoods.com and get some of the most delicious, I'll send you guys some, snack bars around. I think they'll be Elena approved. Definitely. Good little on-the-go snacks.
Sounds good.
And what else do we have? I want to always thank American Top Team, the number one gym in the world, number one team in the world, I got to say.
ATT.
Always. And what I want to end on is they are fucking amazing. They embrace me with open arms. A few weeks ago, I was competing against them with Johnny Hendricks. This is Robbie Lawler's home gym. I walk in and it's all hugs from everybody, and it's awesome. Even Robbie himself, it was good to have a conversation with him, see him and everybody else. But that's been the home for Tiago and Jessica for years. You are the OGs of ATT.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they give me love in the gym. They know they can't fuck with me.
Recognize it.
Exactly. All right, guys, thank you so much. And remember to subscribe to this podcast. You can also leave a comment on what you thought about today. And if you want to hear anything else, let us know the comment section on our iTunes page. Remember, everybody, don't count calories. Make calories count. Boom.
Hey, Mike Dolce fans. Has Mike helped you take one step closer to achieving your health and fitness goals this year? Let Mike know how much you appreciate his help and please vote for him to win the 2014 Trainer of the Year Award. Simply go to worldmmaawards.com and select Mike as the 2014 Trainer of the Year. Voting is almost closed, so act now and go to www.worldmmaawards.com. Mike and Brandy love being part of your life and look forward to helping you make 2015 your best year ever.